대제대 담배주 생년배 고노 군주제는 만난데 바세담 나선바르쇼
For the sake of all mother sentient beings, equal in the limits of space, one shall attain, one aspires to attain a state of full enlightenment, of full Buddhahood by every means. For this purpose, one should now listen to the teachings on the graduated path enlightenment. So please adjust your motivation in such a way and in an appropriate manner.
잠시 다시 된소 그런 건나 아 그랬다 경서가 로또 가고 하세요 아다 디카도 쉬어야 돼
So then within the part of the Lamrim teachings who have come to the portion regarding relying on the spiritual master and with it following that the part about how to sustain your meditations and within that we have come to a part about refuting misconceptions about meditation
뭐 제 선생님
So, regarding to this part, before Lama Tsongkhapa appeared in this world, prior to that in Tibet, the view was held that when you mentioned the word meditation, you referred specifically to what we call the placement meditation, or stabilizing meditation. So, other than that, so that form of meditation was whereby you use the object of focus, like focus single pointedly. With your mind on the object of meditation without any distraction. So that was considered to be meditation. Then the analytical processes, thought processes on the meaning of the scriptures and treatises, that was not considered as meditation at all. So in those times, there was a common view that was being held. The reason being that all the thought processes were thought to be conceptual processes, conceptual thoughts. Hence, they were thought to be apprehension of the signs of true existence. And they were hindrances along the path of Buddhahood. They're thought to be so because they're thought to be grasping at the signs of true existence, inherent existence.
Yes. So 부지점이 노대진 메나토모 투바르데네 삼종의 일체바데 연결해서 삼종의 일체바데 공유도 고나 아니 공종의 노 연결해서 인도에는 담대선의 대성공사 렘지의 유미가 성기하스
So, for some people, then they think that when one is doing an analysis of the scriptures with one's own discriminative wisdom, and that portion is used only during the time of hearing and contemplating the teachings, but not used during the time of meditation. So such was the common view that was held in those days. So the so-called hearing is a process whereby one hears the teachings of the scriptures from others, you know, the meaning of the scriptures from others, and then by hearing that, then one follows up with the process, having heard that, then one follows up with the process of contemplation, whereby one contemplates the, where one analyzes, you know, the meaning of the scriptures that one has heard, you know, through the various means of logic, you know. Then having done that, then one arises the wisdom from contemplation. So therefore, it was commonly viewed that, so-called analysis or analytical meditation was done, you know, analysis was specifically left for the times of hearing and contemplation and not for the times of meditation, you know. So therefore, so when one is, but however, here Lama Tsongkhapa says that when one is hearing and contemplating, you know, the contents of those, you know, whatever meaning is ascertained through hearing and contemplation is exactly what you should be meditating upon, you know, should be the object of your meditation. So therefore, you know, having whatever is being analyzed, whatever meaning is being analyzed is exactly what you should be meditating upon. So here Lama Tsongkhapa quotes from Maitreya, Maitreya's Ornament of the Mahayana Sutras, which says that proper attention is based upon prior study. You know, sublime wisdom, which takes reality as its object, arises from your cultivation of proper attention. So here it says that the processes, you know, of hearing, contemplation, and meditation sort of like complement each other, even though they're, you know, so they're in sort of like in stages, in gradual stages. However, they complement each other in this sense.
Mm-hmm. Tena, kaan yansi longje te tombo shenye nye ne, ki chintub jiye, nye bache, tena tibye tanda rongge longde ribi su isanda rongdub jingi bache, tata sin nye bache, tesamda kawa na yonu yonu nye bache pa na gomba shi sewe, yonu chini kubana mechoo pin jokum nyinga kuite, tisanyi tena papa tela mechoo pan joba zon soto buchi nye gomba nyinga nomi chero, tena gomba nye jokum duko nye plena, nye doji sonye dutu nye kona yino, shi sewa dan rawa yino, nye Tā gōm tē lā, tūsam jē sūsū tūpi shīrab jē jē nē gōmā jē tā, mē jō bā jō gōm jē ā nī yō rē sī. Rē tā, nē, tē wā mē tā bā tā, nē yī yōn tā, chōng jū jū sīm, tē sō gōm bē kāw lā nē, pē jō jō bā jē. Rē tā, jū mē tē sūsām, jē nē gōmā jē nā, nē shōg chā bō, jū mē rōng bō yōng bē rē. で、かな。え、ジェネコンポレーション。だしね、とかかれな。え、に、え、シネンがまどかな。ジェバムもチェな。え、シネンロトメアユ。てでね、え、てじによくんよくんごくよれ。で、ゴミがごくよれ。で、だ、ゴムせでによくんじごりすねて。え、んどとこじなまのにゃね。んどたんてでせやでちばれ。
So then Lama Tsongkhapa further goes to elaborate that when we are meditating, the meditation process, you know, arises from hearing and contemplation, the object of meditation should be the hearing and the objects that you hear and contemplate upon. So this is divided into two types of meditation, the analytical meditation and the stabilizing meditation. Here, analytical meditation refers to continuously analyzing the meaning of the scriptures through one's own discriminative wisdom. And the stabilizing meditation refers to a process whereby one does not do much analysis, rather one does a lot of practice of stabilizing the mind upon the object of focus or placement upon the object of meditation. So when one is, for example, when one is meditating upon renunciation and bodhicitta and so on and so forth, that all these belong to the category of analytical meditation. So by meditating forcefully in such a way over a long time, then one will be able to give rise to these realizations and experiences. Then when one is meditating upon the practice of calm abiding, you know, shinne, calm abiding, then during that point of time, if one does a lot of analysis, then one would not be able to achieve the goal of calm abiding, which is a single point of placement upon the object of focus. So that at that point of time, one does not do much analysis, but focuses mainly on stabilizing one's mind and on that object. So here Lama Tsongkhapa says that if one says that all meditations are like stabilizing meditations, or all the so-called, what is so-called meditation refers specifically and only to stabilizing meditation, then it's like picking up a grain of barley and saying that whatever grains there are in the world is only just this one. So here Lama Tsongkhapa says that the so-called the wisdom of hearing, contemplation, and meditation, all these three are risen, you know, gradually first to through hearing the meaning of the scriptures from others, then one arises the wisdom from hearing. Then following that by contemplating the meaning of this, of what if one has heard, then one arises the wisdom from contemplation. And then following that by meditating on that meaning, then one arises the wisdom from meditation. However, when one is cultivating the practice of meditation, the object of cultivation is precisely what was ascertained, you know, during the time of hearing and contemplation. You know, what you are focused upon when you are hearing and you are in the process of hearing or contemplating, that is exactly what should be the object of meditation when you are cultivating meditation. It should not be a separate subject or topic apart from that. So here Lama Tsongkhapa says that for those who are cultivating the path of meditation or the practice of meditation, the meditators themselves should firstly engage in a lot of extensive hearing, because from the practice of hearing extensively, one gives rise to a lot. One gives rise to a lot of wisdom, you know, from hearing, and also one is able to subsequently lead to a lot of wisdom that arises from contemplation. And then extensive wisdom of contemplation that gives rise to the extensive wisdom derived from meditation. So therefore, in this way, but if one, having done a lot of meditation, you know, derive a lot of wisdom from meditation, then this one will be able to cut off or to seize, you know, a lot of faults and to give rise to a lot of qualities. Therefore, Lama Tsongkhapa states that it's very important in the beginning, you know, to do a lot of, prior to meditation, to do a lot of hearing and contemplation for meditators. Yes.
Gombe tongde rees. Mende ta, ta juwe kal na, sonye juwe ayin na, an tenende juwza te tenche. Jen tenche ayin na, sonye an ta te chamzome wa, kason juwe na wanyin za, yungbu yore. Mende te la, juwza tenche yore. Ten na je ne, tuisam koso che ya te, juwza tenche.
So here Lama Tsongkhapa says that firstly, in the, right from the beginning, for the meditators, the contents of their hearing, contents of their hearing and contemplation, these are solely for the purpose of meditation at later stages. So here the analogy is given that of leading a horse. If you're going to ride a horse to a specific track or lane, then firstly today, you know, you might train the horse by showing it the path that it would you would ride upon, that it would follow the next day. And tomorrow, then when one is actually riding the horse, you know, then the horse sort of like knows exactly roughly which direction, you know, because of having the prior knowledge or experience of being led along that path. So therefore, like this, when one is doing hearing and contemplation, the purpose of that, you know, solely is for the purpose of meditation. So that is sort of like showing the path to the horse prior to its being led, you know, prior to its riding along that lane. And then when one comes to the process of actual meditation, it's like the horse actually running, you know, actually running along that lane to reach the destination. So therefore, if one meditates upon a subject or a topic or content that is apart or separate from that which was spent, that time was spent on hearing and contemplation, you know, one meditates on a completely different thing than what one had heard and contemplated upon. That is like showing the horse one path to follow, and then the next day riding it completely in a complete direction. So it's like, you know, that doesn't match up. Yes. So when one is engaging in the processes of hearing, contemplation, and meditation, then the purpose is to achieve the realization.
Mm-hmm. Jesus Dhamma ke nong da tenre chong che song song wa. Tenre ke nengge ha ma go ken tesu, longha la jomba chenpo che jang ken, te tang. Tenre kong la yon jomba ma jen ken ke minyi gom jia yun du kong la. Tenre gom jia mong yung chi kwa yin ba, tenre dong hi wa res, dong ken. Ten ma se yon gom jia nye ti, pecha ta to che ya, chu yin ya tenre che yin la,
So then when Maitreya Buddha, as mentioned before in this quotation of the Maitreya Buddha, the Honor Materializations, it says there that the different processes or the different stages of hearing, contemplation, and meditation. Then, regards to that, you know, for someone who does not understand the critical points of such a process, then they may have the wrong misconception that for someone who has extensively studied the scriptures and treatises of both Sutra and Tantra, and for someone who hasn't done such extensive study, then both of them ends up with the equal amount of meditation, you know, one have a misconception, right? So due to this fault, you know, of not understanding or the processes of hearing, contemplation, meditation, then no one ends up with the assumption that those who have done extensive meditation, extensive analysis of the scriptures, and those who have not done so, then end up with the equal amount of meditation, And then, so therefore this is, there's an assumption that those who do meditation are not do not need to do a lot of analysis of the scriptures. So again, there is such a form of misconception in Tibet that was prevailing in those days.
So in past some people or the meditators that it is same the one who studied a lot when they meditated, who studied a lot and who has little understanding time. So when they meditate, same the thing like that, but actually it's not same, because the one who studied a lot has more wisdom, there's more understanding when the person meditates, there's more understanding. The one who has done little study, little understanding Dharma, then during the meditation also has little understanding, there's limited understanding. So there's big difference. So I'm just saying that in the past, in Tibet, other meditators they assume this is what they believe. Those two meditators are same with the meditators, but it's not same. There's big differences. They've got the wisdom, they've got the understanding.
Mm-hmm. 대나 237호 중에 이바테니나 리버스에 왔던데 공정만이 뭐 어제 검 검만이 맞으신가? 나는 삼대도 문제도 마토비 소재나 검대 미시반 조대 너비 산에 산통부 주비세 대라 때문에 공정제 바시바 마토바 대라 공정에 뭐 충분 받는 님 정말 시비세로 임버다 단다데 저게 단다 세지도 일단 조금 주고 제거를 해서 내야 돼. 그래다 공정대나 검색을 해서 그래서 공정 이 말이야. 다 공정에서 해야 돼. 도바나 아니 노바는 이미 있다. 노바 단단한 거죠. 노바 말이야. 그래서 노용은 농조 되기 어려. 그래서 노용은 농조 대안인데 아니 대체는 이미 있다. 아니 노바와 최통공다. 아니 좀뭐 못한 데서 아니 삼내 고마 감 고마 삼내도 못하고 때 아니 뇽몬 뇽뇽 제일 뭐 아니 던데서 뇽낸다 던데서 고민도 이 말에 던데서 고마가 되는 공정이 넣었어야 돼 옛날에 도구 요래 대대는 공정도 통용도 너비 사내 사 고마 삼대동보세야토바인디다 공정의 고민이 기관이나 아니 노바바 그래서 예도 마토비 노바바나 공태는 메세 것이 그래서 이제 텐데로 그 말이에요.
So here it says that when one is for those people that claim that meditation is referring specifically or exclusively only to stabilizing meditation, then regards to that, then when we talk about the wisdom arising from meditation, then firstly, one regards to hearing, when one does hearing, then one generates the different renunciation towards the desire realm. One hears about the shortcomings of the desire realm, such as a short life and loss of different desires towards the resources and enjoyments and so forth. Then one enters in the practices of the something called the high concentrations. So the wisdom arising from seeing the various faults of the desire realm, such as a short lifespan and having gross delusions and such as desire and so forth, then this is the quality of the la. Yes. So then, to those, I'll try again. So for those that assume that the wisdom arising from meditation is the same as meditation itself, then it says here that, for example, the wisdom arises from meditation comes about when the meditator reflects upon the faults of the desire realm, such as gross delusions, as well as short lifespan and lots of sicknesses and so forth. Then by seeing the qualities of the higher realms, such as the form and formless realms, and then their qualities such as free from sicknesses and gross delusions, and so seeing these qualities, you know, they want to choose the wisdom arising from meditation. So they meditate on these aspects and then achieve the meditation, the wisdom arising from meditation. And then if one says that meditation and the wisdom arising from meditation in that is the same nature, then this would be equivalent of saying that there is no meditation in the desire realm. Arising from no, because then the wisdom arising from meditation refers belongs exclusively to the form and formless realms, the higher realms of meditative concentration, and so if one assumes that, then it's equivalent to saying that there is no such thing as meditation in the desire realm.
Tena, gomi shibane, parsin leshe tsukzawane, jendrishi. Gombar cheba shi chavane, yite kawa jendu chebana, te ngubur cheba wo, shi cheba ta kobar chade, da gomi se yate kani se segirsena, yite kawa jendu, yite ngubur cheba. Pena, teba gom, ninge gom shibane, yite ta de cheba la chaguba jino, da gomi se yate, Da tebagom ninji gom sena rangi yi de ninji ngowa jeba tebi ngowa jeba tenri jela tebagom ninji gom sili res rima do buge zi ji de ne de ya tenri guwa ma res song.
So then Nam Tsongkhapa further says by quoting Dhammamitra's clear words commentary, which says that meditating is making the mind take on the state or condition of the object of meditation. So when we are meditating on the subjects such as compassion or faith, then at that point of time, one is continuously trying to condition the mind, you know, to turn into the state or the condition of a compassion and faith. So therefore, when one is doing so, then one does it through analysis, you know, not through causal analysis and conditioning, not through single point placement, not through stabilization.
Yes. Deze no da chimo nam je ringa gombi la mi chiba jo na ringa no modo jin tong gombi no da shisu mo da gombar jo te gomba da gomba ni tong je ko je yo je je sam be ni je yo no do no mi gombi no ya da ya da sum ba da ja da ni do gombi la ji te je mo go na ni bi yo no sum ba da ja da ni ba to ba yo ba sum ba da je ni jo ma da gombi ga wa do ba ni je ge je ne so imagine da gom se ya da lo gombar che ba da lo yi gom se ya ni chi ba he ni de ne lo da nam je pe cha jo yim ka na an sam le tong ji ba yin na yo gom ba se jo an sam le gom se jo de le no yo re re ten de jin de da lo gombar che ba de ga la ni gom se ge yo re de la ni suru bi jian de gombar che ba yo ro and suru do bi jian na yo gom yo re de ma ze ni te jin pa ge gom nam te jin tong nam to gom nam to da gom nam ge gam la ni gom zong ge to ba tong bo de sa ro de gom zong to ba tong bo de 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 yo na yo yo ne yo de bi jo ba che ba den de song yo re ene sanghe wa yende gomda ene cheba cheya nyinga wa doba te gemo shoko ya gomdo rishas.
So then so when one is Lama Tsongkhapa first says that when one is meditating, the so-called conditioning or meditation both refer to the same thing. So sometimes when the great translators of the past, when they're translating the lines on meditation, sometimes when they came across the word meditation or conditioning, sometimes they would use both words, you know, kom or gom, you know, in both cases to refer to similar things in their translation. So, so it says here that the path of seeing and conditioning. I'm sorry. So here, when it refers to the path of seeing, then it says that even in the Mahayana Arya, the Arya or the noble ones of the Mahayana path. So when they're meditating, when they're having achieved, so there is a very high level achievement of the wisdom that arises from meditation. So even for them, then they have to continuously engage in analysis, analytical meditation, due to that. So therefore, to say that meditation, so-called meditation, I'm sorry, so it says here that because Maitreya says that repeated reflection, comprehension, and definite discernment constitute the path of meditation for Mahayana noble being. So therefore, these three processes, repeated reflection, comprehension, definite discernment, these are analytical meditations. Therefore, the claim that the so-called meditation process itself is a separate phenomenon from what we call analysis, that this is a ridiculous claim. Yes.
Tedana, Teba Gomada, Temejido, Chunju Sangomada, Medabata, Dunga Gomba, Shiva, Shia Sombatawa, Yanda, Yonda, Jene, John Gubana, Gomda Sombataya, Vajinonde, then Yonya Jiba, Chunju Don, Lapile, Rangi Hila Gomsing, and the Mishi Yonda, Yonda, Gomda Smother, Lapile, Leta, Vena, Luzon, your son of Jimmy, but Thomas Son, Dabo, Jiro Goma, she Luzon, to get us a real, Thomason Tabe, Jesus, Teba, Tamdi Gomda Sumish, Gomishi, but the Jia Chunju, the Maison.
Prior to the arrival or appearance of Lama Tsongkhapa, then when we say, when the word meditation was mentioned, brought up, then it referred specifically to stabilization, meditation, practices of stabilization. However, Lama Tsongkhapa says that to describe meditation solely in that context, that is very limiting towards its function, you know, to the area that it should cover. So here Lama Tsongkhapa quotes from the different texts or scriptures, such as Compendium of Training and Bodhisattva and his Bodhisattva Deeds and Engaging Bodhisattva Deeds and so forth to approve this point. So for example, in the prayer to meet the teachings of the victorious one Losang Chaba, or meet the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa, then within that, there's one verse which says that describes the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa as a faultless or stainless analysis of the scriptures with stainless logic, as well as meditation through single-pointed placement, you know, or stabilization. Therefore, hence in that context, we can understand that within the traditional Lama Tsongkhapa, but both analysis and stabilization, you know, or placement are both considered forms of meditation.
Yes. 이제야 도가 탐지 천진인데 성제를 계속 손에 수수도비 검 탐지 노비 노도게 타지 있는데 연안게 뭐 하시는 거 노인이나 대가번 신인 황도 같은 제반 시에벌 자고 이마다 도가 탐지 천진이래 성제를 계속이래 수수주비 시럽지 제용도 거나 그게 중동 제약에 아니 도가 뭐 제용 그러고 이제 대신 성제를 계속이래 세대약에
노도대노도게노는타치두슈지레스이런데네간디중바르데나엄마아리다자난케모하시옹세야지보아드죠아니디로게마데레데다가야신년황동가스가기니스소모신년황동기네다시편시안라미요시나카다다소히얼안 Lama Tsongkhapa says that some people claim to say that all conceptual thought processes involve the apprehension. Therefore, if one infers in that way, one would also infer that using the discriminative wisdom to analyze the scriptures. When the meaning of the scriptures, when one is doing that, then one is also, engaging thoughts that grasp onto inherent existence. And these people claim to say that such an conceptual thought, stand in the way of Buddhahood and enlightenment, Therefore saying that this would also infer that, analyzing scriptures becomes, a hindrance to enlightenment. So therefore Lama Tsongkhapa says that this is the worst possible misconception that one could ever be caught up in. So the reason, so Lama Tsongkhapa states that the source of this wrong view, becomes a misconception in regards to the analytical meditation. So Lama Tsongkhapa says that such a wrong view has come about due to appearance of an abbot called Hashang, from China, when he appeared in Tibet, and then he spread this wrong view. So regarding the debate, the refutation of this point will be covered during the later parts of the text in the section on special insight and common binding.
たぼら、建築中心の線。中心の線がもう、まだ中心の線で。中心の線で、かぶらね、じゃあけ、ロボンベマンジュネンだ。ね、全部持ってさどうせね、しわんと。あ、ディーソンゾン。ん、ポーソンジーテンバタジーチムチムロ。タジーチムチムで。ね、で、サムナ、ロボベマンジュネン、じゃあパーペ。 天智しわんとこまそ。ディーパーな、じゃなね、だはしょせなげのんじまれ。天智じよん。ん、てげんとばなにちんじれす。んだ、そんじれけいれす。ん、なんかだねちまかぼだなごかれちょんなよ。にまでぶろんどわす。んだ、とばそんげかれいなよ。ん、そんじょうけいれ。だちんよいるめじばちん。え、でごれす。え、てんれこんなわ。
Yes. So then in Tibet, there was the famous what we call the Kenlop Chusum, which means the abbot. Ken means the abbot, Lop means the master, the Lopun Acharya, and the Chu means the Trigyal King of Dharma. So Kenlop Chusum were the three main figures that played an important role, major role in spreading the Buddha Dharma in Tibet. So here Kenpo, the Trigyal refers to the king of Dharma, which is Trizong Dezen at that period of time. And then Lobun here refers to, so he invited the Lobun or the Acharya Dhammasambhava Guru Rinpoche from India to come to Tibet, and also invited the Kenpo or the abbot Shivatsu, Kempo Bodhisattva Shivatsu, to come to Tibet to spread Dharma. So then, at that point of time, then after a certain period of time, when the Dharma had spread, then Bhamasambhava, the Lupin Bhamasambhava went back to India, and then Kempo Shivatsu, you know, he passed away. And so then a Chinese abbot came from China and spread the view saying that all forms of conceptual thoughts necessarily involves the science of grasping at true existence. Therefore, it becomes an obstacle to Buddhahood. And la. Yeah, yeah. So here, the example that he gave was that all positive and negative thoughts and conceptual thoughts both obscure the goal of enlightenment, just goal of Buddhahood, just as in the sky, whether white clouds appear or dark clouds appear, they both obscure the radiance of the sun. So therefore, they propagate the practice of, therefore they claim that all conceptual thoughts bar the goal of enlightenment, Buddhahood. Therefore they propagate the practice whereby one meditates, you know, one remains or leaves it at a state whereby no conceptual thoughts arise, and a mere absent state of conceptual thoughts as their object of meditation. So then in Tibet, many people did a lot of practices for accumulating merit and purification, such as prostrations, you know, making extensive offerings and circumambulations, going pilgrimages and so forth. So therefore, that involves usually a lot of physical hardship. So then the way that Kempo Hashyang, you know, the Chinese abbot was propagating that, you know, all these are not necessary because they involve conceptual thought and they become obstacles to Buddhahood. So if one stays, you know, separate from these activities and does not give rise to any thought, you know, conceptual thoughts in one's mind, then one will naturally attain Buddhahood. So this practice, you know, seemed very easy compared to all the prostrations and circumambulations. Therefore, many people chose this practice in Tibet back then. So then the king, having seen that such a trend, then was his holy mind was disturbed. Then he thought, you know, what should be done? Then
so also prostration, so forth, those are the practices because it one has to bear some hardships, you know, exhaustiveness or some hardships. So therefore, the followers that happen in Tibet, they also regard them. You don't need to do these all the prana practices. So just to practice nothing. Just practice meditation, nothingness, think nothing.
So cultivate no conceptual thought. Then you could be able to attain enlightenment. So this became a trend in Tibet. So when the king perceived such a trend, then his holy mind was disturbed. Then he thought, what to be done? Then he remembered that when the Kempo Shadara Chida, the Kempo Shivatsu was alive, you know, he had a nephew called Gamashila. Gamashila. So then he thought to invite Gamashila to now. So then, then he remembered that when Kenpo Shiwatsu, Shantara Chita was alive, then he had made a promise or a sort of like prophecy and promise that in the future, if there was harm coming to the teachings arise to the teachings, then he should invite his nephew, which is Kamala Shila, you know, to come to Tibet to contract that problem. Yes. So the king's holy mind was uncomfortable when he saw the trend. Yes.
There are many people follow this philosophy.
Yes. So many people follow that philosophy in Tibet at that time.
Mm-hmm. ten bana jongjin chimuche songs
So when invited the Shantara Chita to come to Tibet, then invited Kamala Shila to come to Tibet, then the king told Kamala Shila that, you know, we have this person who's harming the teachings in Tibet, and his name is called Hashang, Chinese as Hashang. Then he propagates this theory that all conceptual thoughts, you know, hinder the attainment of Buddhahood. So therefore, then Kamala Shila replied that, you know, he wonders whether this abbot actually acknowledges logic, and if he acknowledges logic, you know, then we can debate and we defeat him in debate. If he does not acknowledge logic, then the only thing we can do is imprison him and beat him up. So, therefore, when Kamala Shila then went to Tibet, then as he was near to, then he came to, close to the Chinese abbot, then the king sort of introduced him, said this is the Chinese abbot, you know. Then Kamala Shila then waved his hand in the circle, you know, as if, you know, usually in debate this is one of the gestures, using either his hand or his mala, in the circle, and he said, he posed a question, what is the root of samsara? So, the Chinese abbot then pulled out his robes and covered himself and said, ignorance. No. He didn't say anything. So then he did this either with his hand, you know, physical hand, or with his mala, he made a circle in the air, you know, with the intention of asking what is the root of cycle existence. So then the Chinese abbot then immediately pulled out his robes and covered himself, and so sort of a reply of this is the ignorance, the darkness of ignorance, Marikpa. And then, Kunga Tachin is Shajama Pin. And the Chuo Git Pachon. So the Chinese apple was actually across, where they had met, you know, right across the opposite bank of the river. So when he did this, and he saw that the Chinese apple pulled out his robes and saying this was, stating the ignorance, the root of samsara ignorance. So Kamashila saw, seeing that he accepted logic, and then Kamashila was so happy that he crossed the river without taking his shoes off, you know, in order to go for the debate with this Chinese abbot. Yes. The Chinese abbot pulled up his robe and wrapped his head. covered his head. Yes. Yeah. So Kamashita was very happy that that Chinese abbot seemed to accept logic, and now he could use logic to debate with the Chinese abbot. So he's so happy that he forgot to take off his shoes and rushed to cross the river. Right. Immediately ran across the river with his shoes on. So then during the process of debate, the king sort of acting as a witness, and then you know, but both parties, Kamashila debated with the Chinese abbot, you know, sometimes. So he stripped it, the Kamashila started asking questions and then answering back and forth like that. So then eventually, the Chinese abbot was defeated. So then there was a prior agreement that whoever was defeated, then the king would give the person a flower, and that person had to offer that flower to the victor. So the flower was given by the king into the hands of the Chinese abbot, and he had to offer that flower to Kamalashila. Then therefore he was not allowed to continue staying in Tibet. The Chinese abbot was not allowed to continue to stay in Tibet, so he was exiled, you know, from Tibet. But when he was leaving Tibet, then one of his shoes was left behind in Tibet. And this was sort of like a sign that, you know, some of his followers, you know, or followers of his teaching would be left behind in Tibet. So therefore, due to that, then it is said when Lama Tsongkhapa appeared in Tibet, during his period of time, there were actual people holding on to such views as the same as the Chinese abbots. So therefore, the Lama Tsongkhapa says that when, by claiming that the discriminating wisdom or discriminative analysis involved when one is studying the scriptures by claiming that that is not necessary during meditation, then this view would interfere with generating respect, you know, towards the classic texts. So if one does not generate, have respect for the classic texts, you know, one does not recognize these classic scriptures and the commentaries to the instructions, then this causes, this becomes a major cause for the decline of the teachings, the Buddhist teachings. Yes.
남고만아 데나 남데다 공부하는 요즘은 삼분은 더 노인들도 쇼다 주는 거고 지금 자고 생명받지는 내서 매도 몸매받지 전에 눈을 제비 쉬고 내는 것이 신의 불바나서 감는 영혼의 영혼의 제나 아선내 제면인데 대단한 조금 자구관인데 내는 신화 가서 쉬어 볼 자고 아니 말다 아 조금 당 아 지금 다 조금 세 없는 이 어려서 그다 검 조금 지고 인세 돼야 될까 대대 말해서 말로 아, 로노라는 제금단 조금이요. 그래서 원하는 제금들 아 간디 가서 제주로 요금 가지고 가서 제주로 했나 다 아 나름 이나니 제네르 그 감나 이나 아니 요금 제주로 해서 아 뒤 감나 제네 마루비 아 감 사드 그 감나 아 요네 요네 제바 제바 이나 아니 샘네 잡 노그리 뒤 감나 요금 그래서 아 대마도 비 아니 인조선생님 고발의 세신, 셴바드 도와주고. 텐디치 뒤, 요금고, 제공고, 그래서. 대한민국 신인단다, 신의 대도 감로, 인나니, 신의 댐비 평형 댐들, 마태민님의 내려서, 제바 몸보치. 근데 신의 용대삼, 가진삼, 제바치, 텐디치는 구바 제거로. 텐디치는 쇼친부 중반이나, 아니, 신의 댐서 로바 노다, 마태바드 대성고, 누구지?
So therefore, here Lama Tsongkhapa says that there are two types of meditation, the analytical meditation and the stabilization meditation. So, you know, one cannot exclude either of these meditations by saying that there's only one kind of meditation. So therefore, then one has to understand what are the two types of meditation and what functions, you know, do they perform. So, for example, if one is trying to accomplish shamatha or calm abiding, at that point of time, the main practice is placement or stabilization meditation. So if one is trying to accomplish shamatha for the first time, trying to accomplish calm abiding for the first time, then if one starts off with a lot of analysis, you know, mental analysis, then this becomes a hindrance or sort of harms one's practice of shamatha, cultivation of shamatha. However, other than that, then if one is doing meditations on renunciation, bodhicitta, and so forth, then at that point of time one needs to do a lot of analysis. Then at that point of time one engages in analytical meditation. So, for example, in order to generate strong renunciation, then one needs to meditate constantly, you know, over and again, over and over again, the faults of cyclic existence, faults of samsara. Then by contemplating that, then one removes, stops the mind that is grasping, desirous grasping upon the perfections of samsara, and one generates a very strong renunciation towards it. So likewise, So all this is done through an analysis, analytical meditation. And likewise, when one is cultivating the practice of guru devotion, at that point of time, one contemplates again, you know, through analysis, the different points about the benefits of relying on the guru and the faults or disadvantages of not properly relying on the guru. Then also one analyzes the qualities of the guru, you know, analyzes the various kindnesses of the gurus. Then by doing so, you know, so all these done through the process of analytical meditation, then one gives rise to respect and faith, faith and respect towards the guru. And also likewise, by analyzing the various drawbacks of not proper reliance, not properly relying on the guru, then one is able to put a stop or cease the opposite states of mind, you know, the mindset states of mind that are contrary to the practice, such as not having respect and not having faith and so forth.
Yes.
So therefore, by engaging in analytical meditation, one can enhance the forcefulness of the mind, you know, but the force of the mind. And therefore, the analogy being given is that, the example being given that, for example, if we are engaging in an object of desire, we mistakenly superimpose many attractive characteristics upon the object of desire, then you sort of like think, you know, in a mistaken way, you know, you superimpose that they have such and such good qualities and so on and so forth, thereby enhancing your desire. So this conditioning causes your desire to flare up, you know, to become enhanced. So likewise, when you see an enemy, we come upon an enemy, then when the mind is constantly thinking about the unattractive characteristics of the enemy, such as the things that done to harm you, and the faults and, you know, shortcomings they have and so forth, thereby by constantly contemplating on that, then this causes your hatred towards that enemy to intensify. So likewise, when one is practicing such, when by doing, constantly, practicing analytical meditation, this will cause your mind to, enhance its forcefulness, you know, in regards to whatever, object meditation you are using. Yes. Yes. So therefore, also in Tibet, again, there was a trend, there was sort of like trend of misunderstanding with regards to the two traditions of analytical and stabilizing meditation. So what the trend said was that for those scholastic people, then they need to engage in a lot of analysis, a logical analysis of text. Therefore, you know, their main field is analytical meditation. they need to do a lot of research and analytical meditation. So that's their main field and not main field expertise, you know, not their stabilization meditation. So, and for meditators, then the main thing for them to do is to watch their own minds, you know, to watch the nature of their minds and so forth. So for them, the main expertise should be the stabilizing meditation and not analysis. So there, however, here Lama Tsongkhapa says this is a wrong way of saying, because both the scholars and the meditators need both analytical and stabilizing meditation. The reason being that scholars also need to cultivate the practice of calm abiding, you know, the ability to direct their minds single-pointedly upon the object of focus of meditation. Therefore, they also need to cultivate stabilizing meditation. And the meditators, you know, they also need to, other than meditating on their minds, they need to also have like proper faith towards their spiritual masters, and also faith in the law of cause and effect and so forth. So therefore, they also need analytical meditation. So Lama Tsongkhapa says to assume that each needs only one kind is wrong assumption. So here, Lama Tsongkhapa further says that within the various sutras and tantras, great emphasis, you know, it mentions in many places the great importance of the analysis using the discriminative wisdom. So in this way, if one does not engage in such a practice, one will not be able to give rise to wisdom, or, you know, one's wisdom will not increase. So if one does not give rise to wisdom, you know, one's wisdom does not increase, then one does not enter the paths, you know, one does not achieve great progress in the path of practice. So therefore, in order to achieve progress in the path, you know, one needs to give rise to wisdom, which is very important, and to achieve that, one needs to engage in discriminative analysis. And here it also Lama Tsongkhapa says that omniscience is the best among, Lama Tsongkhapa quotes the statement that omniscience is the best amongst wisdoms. And therefore, the ultimate achievement, which is the omniscient state of Buddhahood, is able to perceive the diversity of phenomena as well as the true nature of those phenomena. So all that is again dependent, you know. All that, to achieve that again, is very important to rely upon the discriminative wisdom of analysis. Yes.
Lam 로인 젠동한테 젠동은 안 매워지 매자대 땡보여지 텐데 검고만 있나 아니 쟁의 체론도야 리과도론도야 텐데 연구요 그게 미비되는 삶내에 대해서 뭐지 이나요 남주연의 리과도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론도론
increasing, if one is doing proper meditation, then one's wisdom will increase, and one's mind will become clearer. You know, once the mind or the logic becomes clearer. So, however, if Lama Tsongkhapa says that if you find that no matter how much you engage in meditation and cultivating in the path, if you find the mind is gradually being dulled into oblivion, and then you're slowly becoming your wit is becoming slower, it's about what is to be abandoned and what is to adopt in one's practice. That this is a sure sign that you have gone the wrong way, you know, engaged in the wrong path of practice. So here, it refers to when one is doing meditation on calm abiding, shamatha practice, then one has to avoid the extremities of mental laxity and excitement. So here, when one has a subtle laxity or a subtle thinking, what we call the thinking in the practice of shamatha, this is if one has a subtle form of that thinking, then what happens is that the object of one's meditation still appears. You know, still it can be held by the mind. However, the mind is holding upon that object of meditation is not forceful enough. It's not holding with a suitable amount of force. So therefore, then there's a subtle laxity in that process of holding the object of meditation. That this causes the mind to gradually become more and more dull, you know, over time. So therefore, if one finds that this happens, then one has made a mistake in the meditations. With regard to the meaning of the scriptures, Lama Tsongkhapa says that when one uses the wisdom of discrimination to analyze the meaning of the scriptures, then by seeing the qualities of the scriptures, then this greatly increases your faith. This greatly increases your faith towards the teachings and aspiration and joy and so forth. So all this is done through discriminating wisdom. Translated as discerning wisdom. So here, if one uses the, one should use discerning wisdom and have a very stable faith in it to the extent that this discerning wisdom to conduct analytical meditation, even if others were to tell you that this kind of wisdom is irrelevant or unnecessary, then you know that would not be able to disturb your mind, make your mind move or sway away from conviction towards this practice. So once you arrive at that stage of conviction. Yes.